les Boutchou de 3 à 6 et Bookie et Malice à 16h pour les 7 à 13 ans. Seulement $30 pour adultes et enfants.
Alors, qu'est-ce qu'on fait cette année pour la semaine de relâche?
Euphoria!
Billets en vente partout et sur Eventbrite. Info 438-994-7615. 438-994-7615.
Yeah!
Hi, this is Lee Fields from Soul Fire Records. And when I'm in Montreal, I listen to CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. I'm your host for the evening, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Overrange niggas won't be the game, but long little cheek. For a little old thing, little boys bang bang. Long little cheek. Niggas fighting over rain, niggas won't be the game, but long little cheek. Yeah, watch pretty mama while I slay my cane. Long little chief. Cockroaches in the ratchet. Hand-me-downs with the patches. Mama put a little money in the mattress. Taught me how to make a silver spoon out of plastic. You can either sink, swim, or be the captain. Get the last word, I'ma get the last laughing. Now they say you're dinner while you're dressing so classy. I don't want my best dressed day in a casket. You can either leave, follow, or get out the way. Make a fucking move, it will make my fucking day. Got a 100-year plan, you just think about the day. Always been about time, more than been about pay. Y'all rope with me, Usain couldn't run with me. Chief come to find you, you don't come for me. At best, you could run a little company. Nigga, at worst, I could run the whole country. That's right, pimp game like a brothel. That's why I don't judge a nigga's hustle. Airbnb the crib like
a new pair of pants, my niggas. Papa got a brand new dance, my niggas. Want a cuff, want a hand, my niggas. In the school, they be trying to sue spam, my niggas. They whole style and depend on niggas. Y'all wanna talk, wanna dance like niggas. Fuck a mule, I want the land, my nigga. Villa looking like the south side of France, my nigga. Show up, show up. All my niggas show up. Showtime, niggas show up. Showbiz, come to the niggas showing up. Now we made it. For you to celebrate it, but I just gotta live my life. I just gotta live my life till I
put my niggas on. Put my niggas on. Put my niggas on. Put my niggas on.
But I just gotta live my life. Yeah, I just gotta live my life.
My city sleeping, they sleeping, sleeping. It ain't no secret, they be dreaming. They always dreaming, but what's the reason when I need them? They don't believe it, that's why I'm leaving. Yeah, I'm peacing for something decent. Now homie, peep this. It's not
spot like I don't care for my tan. But when my tick drops, it seems like ain't nobody around. Regardless, I be chopping it down. But when that tree falls, it never makes an audible sound. So I put my axe down across the border. Now everything that I thought of is getting made as an order. I'm getting paid, I'm supposed to try and spread the love around. Don't want to see me shine, so they'll probably try and shut me down. But tell them, wake up, everybody in my city needs a pay cut, say what. I feel like we can conquer the game. It starts with a change, but seemingly it's always the same. So
yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are in the throes of Black History Month, and L'Organisation Le Mois de l'Histoire des Noirs brings in 2024 with Fimo Mitchell as one of the two Black History Month representatives. Fimo is a meditation teacher, a writer, and a podcast host. In 2020, he founded When the Village Meditates, a nonprofit community organization committed to creating meditation, yoga, and discussion spaces, along with wellness retreats that centers racialized and marginalized people. In 2021, Fimo released his third book titled Pastel Remembrances. Every Tuesday, he hosts the When the Village Meditates podcast, featuring 10 minutes of meditation and 5 minutes of insightful speech. Tonight, he is here to talk with us about his role as a BHM rep here in Montreal. Fimo Mitchell, welcome back, my brother. It's been years since we last had you on the radio. I've seen you. But it's been since 2020. You were one of the first people that we came back and had you in 2020 on the radio. So it's good to have you, brother. How are you doing? You are a BHM Black History Month rep. Congratulations for that.
I know, it's crazy, huh?
Yeah, and Happy New Year. Well, this is the first time I'm seeing you since the new year. So all the best for the new year for you.
Thank you. All the best to you as well. Happy New Year. Feeling good. As you know, I took some time off.
Yes.
About 5 weeks off. And so today was my first day back working. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling like it was my first day back at work, you know?
Lots of emails to catch up on, lots of stuff like that.
Yeah, but this is a good way to end the day.
Yes.
Conversation with you. So I'm enjoying this. I'm happy to be here.
Yes. You know? So tell me, what does it mean for you to be a Black History Month representative?
Well, I mean, just being a laureate is it's an honor when you think about it. You think about, you know, I think like all of us, we've been, you know, every year we get excited to get the calendar and see what's in it. And so just to be in the calendar in itself is an honor. I think I have to start there. And then to be one of the representative, well, that's, I still haven't really gotten my head around it, because in my world, what I do, I feel like there's so much work to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm not really into the awards or recognition right now.
Okay.
Until the job is done. And I don't know when the job will be done, but the job is not done yet. So part of me is like, well, I don't know. This is kind of big. But at the end of the day, this is about Black History Month. And this is about celebrating our history and understanding that Black history is Quebec history as well. You know, like,
and it's world history.
It's world history. Yeah. You know, it's world history. You know, I think it's so important to remember that, you know, and not to separate it from history, you know. And but I say Quebec because you know how it is in Quebec. And growing up here, you know, they'd have you believe that, well, we did not contribute at all to Quebec society.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah.
You know, that couldn't, I mean, just look at Matthew DaCosta. I remember when Michael Jarvis did a movie on DaCosta.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Oh, Matthew, I mean, Michael Jarvis, for those of whoever's listened who does not know Michael Jarvis, he left the city, went to Toronto. But he was making movies before it was easy to make movies. It's still not easy, But back then it was a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
And funding opportunities were very scarce, especially because he was Anglophone.
Yeah.
And so he did a movie on Matthew DeCosta. He did one on Angelique.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Two very important films that need to be mentioned, that need to be seen. So the film about DeCosta, you know, it's short. So it's obviously you don't get the breadth of his life and everything, but just the fact that there is a short film out there, it's not a short film, but it's not a 2 hour. We need 2 hours for DeCosta. I think to do it right. But just the fact that there's a film out there about DeCosta.
And who is DeCosta?
Well, he was Samuel Champlain. He was his interpreter.
Okay.
So I believe he was from Cape Verde.
Okay, okay.
In Africa. Yes. And so he spoke Portuguese, spoke French, and somehow, this is the part, he spoke Mi'kmaq, he spoke the languages here.
Yeah, he spoke indigenous languages.
He spoke indigenous languages.
Yeah.
More than one.
Yes, yes.
You know, and so not enough is said about Matthew DeCosta. I'm like, we need to discover more about him. Similar to that that violin player in France.
Okay.
Du Chevalier.
I don't remember the name right now.
They made a movie about him. But
I think they made one recently, right?
Recently, exactly.
Yeah.
I love asking French people, do you know him? And they don't know him. You know, I just think, you know, I mean, imagine. And they said that he was so talented, Mozart didn't want to go on after him one night. You know.
Was it Joseph Douglas?
No, he was French. He was born of, and his mother was a slave, his father was white, and born in Guadeloupe, but sent over to France, was raised in France.
Okay.
And so I think it was Du Chevalier.
Joseph Bologne, Chevalier de Saint-Georges.
There you go. Yeah.
Found him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have these figures. You have these figures, not just here in Canada, but throughout the diaspora.
Throughout history,
you know? And they're not mentioned, they're forgotten, they're erased. And so I think Black History Month is a time where we can, like, let's go back and let's dig some of this up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's dig some of this up.
You know, you mentioned earlier feeling like you're not ready for like this kind of position, but I know you. I feel confident in saying that I know you, and I know that you believe in the universe, and I know that you believe in alignment, and I know that you believe in spirituality. And I think that the people who are most deserving are the people who do not believe that they have accomplished what they have yet to accomplish. Usually because they've accomplished so much, but they're so focused on looking forward and achieving their goals that they have forgotten everything that they've done in the past.
Oh, Mr. Kim.
And I would like to tell you, sir, Mr. Fimo Mitchell, that you are deserving of the position of a Black History Month spokesperson. Not only because of all of the work that you've done, the artistic work that you have produced, in terms of like putting in a novel, and I'll never forget this, with Kingston Returns, you put Montreal in a novel, and that has inspired me to this day, and I'm working on doing something similar. You know what I mean? Like, it's not often that I read novels that engage me, that keep me enthralled. And I can see Montreal. I can see Black Montreal. So there's that. And especially modern day Black Montreal.
Like, they've got all of the books of old Montreal, but they don't have nothing of modern Montreal. You know, going to Altaïb, getting yourself a couple slices of pizza, you know, heading to La Banquise. So you have done work worthy of someone who is a spokesperson. And even in the last 4 years, the work that you've done during the pandemic has helped a lot of people. And even post-pandemic, like some of the first events that I went to that involved people was yours. The first event that I went outside and had was in an outside event was when the village meditates, you know. It was like maybe in the top 3-4 events that I went to. So I needed that sense of community, and I needed to meet all these new people, because let me tell you, it's only beautiful people come into your stuff. So, you know, it doesn't hurt to see your beautiful people, you know. And when everybody.
I won't let you get away with that, because when you do a show, let's not act like there's not beautiful people coming to your show.
Yeah, but I didn't start doing shows until the end of the year when it started getting cold.
No. I'm talking about historically speaking here. You've been doing shows for more than a decade. let's not act like this.
No, but I'm just saying the pandemic really shut down things and really isolated people. And I was going through mental health issues during the pandemic. You know, when we were speaking on our Brothers Got Your Back events, you know, I spoke very candidly about that. And even those events, those Zooms where we met up, I don't think you understand the impact that you've had on people's lives and how you've probably changed the trajectory of people's life, even if it's just a fraction of a degree. A fraction of a degree, when you move a fraction of a degree, you can go in a completely different direction and end up miles away from where you originally intended, you know, or miles away, but in a better place than where you were heading originally. So, you know,
I'm happy we're not filming this, because you make me tear up a little bit here, Mr. Kim.
I'm glad this is on radio. We have to give flowers to our brothers, to our sisters, to our family. You know, we need to do that, because, you know, I think too often we as Black people, we don't take credit when credit is due, and we like to say humble, and I had a conversation with you about what being humble actually means. We like to say, oh, you know, I want to keep myself humble. No, you just need to keep yourself respectful. But you can have joy. You can take joy. You don't have to take pride. You don't have to be prideful. But you can take joy in the path that you have laid out for other people to heal, to come together, you know. There's been a lot going on even in the background that we can't even speak about that has helped a lot of people. You know, a lot of the work that we undertook, you know, we had to like call some people into a private circle and have conversations. And these are things that oftentimes in the Black community, especially among Black men, we don't have those things. And those things are important, because they're going to make our community stronger. And
Absolutely.
So I'm kind of rambling and taking up the time, but I think that it's important to give you your flowers, because truly, 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 I can speak for myself when I say that you have impacted my life in a very positive way over the last 3 years. And I'm proud of you. I can say that I'm proud of you for having been nominated. I'm very happy that Gabriella pushed, and then your sisters pushed, because what you're doing is important. What you're doing is important, and it's creating a new
a new microcosm of community within our community. And it's only going to grow from there.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate. I mean, you know, it's never easy to fully take everything in, but I'm taking this in because, first of all, it's coming from you, and you know, I feel the sincerity, and I know you, and I know you don't just say things to say things.
No.
You know, so yeah, man, thank you. And this is, you know, we can go in so many different places with this, but this is, you know, we say Black history, but Black history is also like Black reality, like what's happening now.
It's Black presence. Like,
it's Black presence. And yeah. Like, we're making history right now. Yeah. Like, you know, every day,
yeah.
You know, like this is Black history, you know, like for oftentimes the narrative is always in terms of Black
back
men,
then.
You know? Yeah. And even in terms of now, right? Like, mm-hmm. like for us to have a conversation like this, where we can be vulnerable and say, you know, I'm proud of you, brother. You know, I see what you're doing. And I, you know, and that's so important, you know, and we've talked about that off camera.
Yeah.
You know, off mic, we've talked about the importance of really hearing and seeing each other as Black men, you know, and,
yes.
And so for me, it means a lot. I'll just say this and then we can, then I'll let you move on. But I just want to say it means a lot to hear you say that, you know, because of the role you play within the community. So thank you.
Yeah. I just do my best, man. I had the privilege of being in the calendar last year. And so I am overjoyed to see you that you're going to be in the calendar. And I'm looking forward to when all of the nominees are like put out there and we can finally see everybody. Because you know, nothing makes me happier than seeing people who are doing good things thrive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
In an ideal world, I would snap my fingers and everybody would have everything that they want, so long as it's good and it doesn't harm other people.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Black History Month representative, Black History Month spokesperson, Fimo Mitchell, who is one of the two representatives this year. And he is a meditation teacher, a writer, a podcast host, and he founded the When the Village Meditates back in 2020. And it's a nonprofit community organization committed to creating meditation, yoga, and discussion spaces, along with wellness retreats that center racialized and marginalized people. We are going to take a quick break, play some music, keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Whose data? Our data. When you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Especially in web and email services, where multinationals compete to manage your communication so they can make a profit off of the private communication you are producing. Coombit is a worker cooperative trying to help small organizations or individuals get their email, website creation, and website hosting services off corporate services such as Google. For more information, contact us at coombit.org or email at info@coombit.org. That's K-O-U-M-B-I-T. We are not on Facebook.
I got my eyes on you. You're everything that I see. I want your high love and emotion endlessly. I can't get over you. You left your mark on me. I want your high love and emotion endlessly. Cause you're a good girl and you know it. You act so different around me. Cause you're a good girl and you know it. I know exactly who you could be. Just hold on. Just hold on, we're going home.
show high love and emotion. Endlessly, I can't get over you. You left your mark on me. I want your high love and emotion. Endlessly, 'cause you're a good girl and you know it.
We're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and tonight I am with one of the Black History Month spokespersons, Fimo Mitchell, who is a meditation teacher, writer, and a podcast host. In 2020, he founded When the Village Meditates, a nonprofit community organization committed to creating meditation, yoga, and discussion spaces, along with wellness retreats that centers racialized and marginalized people. Fimo, thank you so much for being here this evening.
Pleasure, man.
Talking to us about what's going on with you. So tell us a little bit more about When the Village Meditates, because it has grown quite a bit since you last spoke to us in 2020 when you had found
it. That's very true, because when we last spoke, there was no yoga,
right?
And which has become a big part of what we do. It was just meditation, yeah. And there was no wellness retreats.
There you go.
That was what I wanted to do, but we hadn't done any yet. So we still do the meditation, like still daily meditation at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And then on weekends, on Saturdays at 8. But we now have Tanya, who you know.
Yeah.
She teaches yoga on Saturdays, and we also have wellness retreats now that we try to do a few times a year. We have a big one coming up in March, Out for Joy, which is a one-day retreat where we'll have sound bath and meditation, chair yoga. It's intergenerational,
right,
which was really big last year, you know. So we had some seniors. This year we hope to get more seniors out,
mm-hmm.
you know. We do chair yoga because it's accessible to everyone. And then there's a session where there's voice, like a little bit of singing.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a poetry or journaling session. And then we end the day with drumming, and people got to move a little bit. You got to move a little bit.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is, it's during the month of, last year was during the month of February. This year we're going to move it into March just because February is a little busy.
Right.
And just to, let's bring some joy into, and sometimes winter can get a little heavy and the days are short. And, you know, I think it's so important. A lot of times we talk so much about black trauma and ancestral trauma, and which is true, but there's also ancestral gifts, and there's also joy that's passed on.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, when we laugh, it's like a belly laugh. It's,
yeah. From the gut.
You know what I mean? There's something, it's not just us laughing. Mm-hmm. There's a bit more to that, you know?
Yeah.
There's some depth to our laughter.
I agree.
The same way there's some depth to our tears, you know? And so I think there's joy. And I really like to go on these rants about joy, because I think there's joy in, we can, there's so many ways to cultivate joy, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe we're not, maybe we're going through something difficult, you know, right now. Maybe we just got fired, or maybe someone just broke up with us, or maybe we got some bad news, you know, and we can hold space for that. We can hold that. At the same time, let's allow ourselves to experience joy, because I do believe that joy is always available. The question is, can we be open enough to welcome it into our hearts, you know, and really experience it? And know that, you know, we're going to have ups and downs. At times we might feel happy. At times we might feel sad.
Yeah.
You know, but I always say joy is not something that goes up and down. To me, it can be the undercurrent of your life. You know, it really can be, so that, you know, you're moving, you're open to all the different emotions, mm-hmm. and you're allowing joy to still be underneath all of that.
I like what you're saying, because what I'm understanding, or what I'm taking from what you're saying, is that we need to make the choice to remain in a state of joy. Mm. We can have our moments of dealing with trauma, dealing with depression, dealing with, you know, the downside of the emotions, but we can always find something to remain joyful about. And joyful doesn't mean you're necessarily going and frolicking in the snow or in the grass when it finally grows. It doesn't mean that you're doing somersaults and cartwheels. Sure. But joy can be just like taking a minute to sit in the sun on your on your stoop. Yeah. Joy can be as simple as having a mug of tea on a cold morning, a warm mug of tea on a cold morning. Joy can be as simple as just, if you have a pet, if someone has a pet, just petting that pet for like a long time, and just like remaining there in that moment.
That's right.
A lot of people don't choose joy. A lot of people choose to remain in misery, to reflect on pain, to constantly just return back into their traumas and not move forward. And I like what you're saying, because it is important. And I think too many people put their focus on the wrong thing. I think too many people also lack the understanding of the power of their energetic abilities. And they think it's all woo-woo, right? What are you talking about? You know, you manifest, that's woo. No, it's not. Because I don't know who said this, before Will Smith, but in an interview, Will Smith had said one time that whether you say you can or you say you can't, you're always right. You know, and if you say I can't do this, I can't do this. Yes, you're right. But if you say I can do it. Same thing.
Yeah.
You're going to always be right, because it's a matter of mind over matter. It's just like a muscle. You know, you can't just go into the gym and lift up 500 pounds one time. Right. But I bet you, if you start with 50 pounds, and then you do that for a week, and then you add on another 25 pounds. Eventually, with 8 to 10 weeks, maybe even 12 weeks, depending on how often, you'll eventually be pushing 500 pounds if you want to, if that's the goal.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think that's the beauty of practice. And I talk a lot about practicing on purpose. Like, we have to be very conscious about what we're practicing during our day.
Yeah.
You know, are we practicing more of what we want to see in this world? Because if we're not, I guarantee you, we're going to practice the stuff that we've been conditioned to practice.
Right.
Which is going to be greed, division, all the stuff that we really don't want to see more of in the world. But that's what we're gonna practice.
Yeah.
And so I'm really big on being very intentional about each moment of the day is an opportunity to practice. Gratitude. Gratitude is one of the easy ways to cultivate joy, you know. But can we can we create a practice that allows us to experience more of what we want to experience in life? Mm-hmm. You know, and that, of course, at first it does take a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of presence to catch yourself.
Yeah.
But I always say you can do that. And yes, it's work. It's some work. But when I think about what are the benefits of doing that, of having a practice,
yeah,
that allows you to come home to yourself, to come back to your natural state, not the state that you've allowed yourself to be in, because we live in a very sick world,
yeah,
in terms of, you know, I don't understand if, like, for example, if we're in this world today and you're fine with everything, I don't think that's normal. There's nothing natural about that. It's natural that you have, that you're just like, your body doesn't feel right. It's natural that you're just not at ease with all of this.
Yeah. It's your body's way of communicating to you. Discomfort is your body's way of communicating to you that something is wrong and you need to take action in order for me to feel better.
That's right. And that's exactly how I feel about this society that we live in. You know, when someone's worth is dictated by how much they're able to earn, or their material success, or what they've accomplished.
Yeah.
And that's when we all have inherent worth. Everyone is worthy. Everyone is zing the, you know, like we're all deserving of love, of empathy, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this thing where we've been conditioned to look at it where, oh, those people, they've achieved this. Okay, they're there and we're here. And it's that's so fundamentally wrong.
Yeah.
And I think because, you know, what we do is, we say, then we talk about, then what frustrates me is when I hear people, the same system, government officials and whatnot, talk about mental health. It's a mental health crisis. Well, what do you expect? Like, what do you expect if you set up a society where we judge you based on how much you're able to acquire material wealth, and then we make it difficult for you to even acquire it, like nowadays, right?
Yeah.
I think about our parent generation, one salary was enough.
Yeah.
One salary. Well, nowadays, you got two people working, perhaps, if there's two parents there.
Right.
You got two of them working, and you got to ship your kid off to daycare, like, super fast.
Right away, almost.
Right, to get back to work.
Yep.
And someone wants to tell me this is, we're advancing? Like, I don't see that as
it feels advancing. More like a regression.
It feels, you know, even for those that tell, like, people say, well, you just got to grind it out, you know, as mm-hmm. Black people, right? Like,
yeah.
If there's one thing I really hope we focus on this Black History Month, amongst the other stuff like we talked about earlier, looking at figures that have been erased from the books and whatnot, or were never in the books.
Mm-hmm.
I also hope we as Black people realize that we are worthy of rest. Mm-hmm. You know, I do that series, Find and Rest, where it's a sound bath and it's discussion. And it's maybe the most powerful thing that I offer mm-hmm. is that.
Yeah,
because it's not a meditation course, you know. But when we gather in that space and we do the sound bath, and people come out of it, and we start talking about rest, and what is it that prevents us from taking the rest that we need?
Yeah,
and you hear time and time again, well, I just don't feel like I'm worthy of it. I feel like I should be doing something. I feel like I need to do this, and I've had to tell myself, oh, wait a minute, I'm worthy of rest right now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so it's so important that we really, I hope as a community, as a people, that we're able to say, you know what, this grind culture that we've been told, we just got to grind harder, right? We got to, you know, no one's going to give it to us, so we got to grind harder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I hear that, but how many of us have lost our lives because of brand culture?
Yeah.
I mean, how many of us, you know, high blood pressure, heart attacks, and poor health, right?
Yeah.
Dealing because of brand culture. Can we, and this is just a question, a simple question, can we find a way to say, well, I want to achieve these things, but you know what? Not
at the expense.
At the sake of losing my health and losing myself.
Yeah.
You know, and because we know that at the end of the day, this is the one thing I started realizing. Even when you get to whatever goal you wanted, ultimately it's going to feel good for a few minutes, but then the fulfillment won't be there.
Yeah.
Because I say that what you put into your doing, the beingness that you put into your doing, is ultimately what determines how you feel when you achieve or arrive wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
And so my thing is right now is I've fallen in love with the process of all of this. Mm-hmm. So whether or not I achieve all the different goals I have doesn't really matter. Okay. Doesn't ultimately matter. It matters, but relatively. But what matters to me right now...
It doesn't matter to your wellness.
It doesn't, no, it, not to my wellness, no. And
yeah.
And it's right now, I'm enjoying this conversation with you. I'm enjoying being present with you, mm-hmm. being able to sit with you and have a conversation. And to be fully here, to be fully engaged in the act of speaking and listening, mm-hmm. and the act of seeing and being seen, you know, I'm enjoying that. And this is practice. This is empathy. This is compassion. This is humanity.
Yeah.
And to be able to practice that is, it's beautiful. And so that way, in that sense, whatever goal I have is still there, but I'm arriving at whatever my intention is in this moment, yeah. right now.
Yeah.
And it feels great. That feeling, you know, I'm not chasing, I'll get there someday. No, I'm here right now. I'm here right now. It's all here right now. Yeah. This conversation right here.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And that's beautiful.
What was it about mental health that made you decide to create When the Village Meditates? What was it that you saw or that you experienced that made you say, you know what, I need to make this thing?
I think it was my own mental. It's funny because we didn't have the term mental health like when we were younger.
Two decades ago even.
Yeah. So I'm like, but I just remember when I first went to China in 2002, I remember being alone for the first time in my life, like really alone, because I was in a small town. I couldn't speak Chinese.
Right.
And I was only working like maybe 12 hours a week. Mm. And so I had a lot of time to myself. And so I wrote a lot and I cried a lot.
Wow.
And I cried a lot. And I mean, a lot, it was a lot of crying. And looking back at it now, I probably need to talk to someone, like a therapist or something.
Yeah.
You know, but that wasn't available. I didn't even think about that, to be honest with you. But writing has always been my thing. Even when I was younger, I always wrote, you know, like the girl that I wanted that didn't like me, I would write about it.
That's,
you know?
That's how a lot of us started off.
Kim, you know, like I know, every poet must have unrequited love. Every poet, you know, and so it's a requirement. It's a requirement.
It's a requirement. You
know?
Yeah.
We accept it. We accept it. Mm-hmm. And so I started writing just growing up, what happened, and it just became like a few paragraphs, but it really turned into my first book, which is Lost or Found.
Yeah.
And but going through that period of, I was really sad and I didn't know why I was crying, but I realized, a few years in, that underneath all that anger I had as a boy, mm-hmm. when I used to get into a lot of fights, I know a lot of people don't believe me, but those who know me when I was young, I used to get into fights.
Yeah.
You know, because you weren't going to call me a certain name and get away with it.
Exactly.
And so, And that rage is still in me, if I'm being honest.
Wow.
You know, like, it's still there. And so I realized that underneath that rage, though, was deep sadness. Because I realized that, well, why didn't the teacher say something? Why didn't they say something?
Yeah.
Why didn't they call their parents?
Yeah.
Why didn't the school do something?
Yeah.
You know, there was, and so what I started to realize was that as a Black boy growing up here and then becoming a Black man, there's only a certain range of emotions that we're allowed to really show in public space, right?
Yes.
And I say this all the time. It was in China where I really exhaled for the first time in my life.
Ooh.
Where I was really like,
took a
China
breath.
China is technically a repressive country.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's nothing special about China. I just want to say there's nothing like, it's not like I went to China. No, it's just.
And you started glowing and floating.
No, yeah. I just want to be clear. I'm not saying that.
Right.
The Chinese government does a lot of bad things. I'm just saying to get out of here, it's important to get out of here and to go somewhere where you can experience your full humanity.
Mm.
Because it was hard to do that here. And I didn't know it was hard to do that here.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't until I was away and I was like, wow, you know?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're joining us for the first time this evening, we are speaking to Phimo Mitchell, who is just bringing some truth, some vulnerability, and letting us know the beginnings, the origin story of When the Village Meditates. But you know, this is Radio Land, so we do have to take a quick break, pay some bills, play some music. We're going to come back to you and speak with this Black History Month 2024 spokesperson, Phimo Mitchell. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Cara Patties is on a fast break with Veggie Patty leading the charge. The pass is down deep to Goat Patty. Goat Patty passes baseline to Beef Patty. Beef Patty shoots from downtown at the buzzer. And bingo! It's in! It's in! Cara Patties wins the game and is now the world champions! The number one in Montreal. Come on down to 9550 Jean Milot in LaSalle for the best patties, roadies, jerk chicken, and more. Or call us at 438-387-4004. Cara Patties, the champions of Montreal.
There might be 50 of y'all, but there's a ton of us. Cold in the winter, ready for summer ball. Heavy season with a ton of trucks. A ton of ball. Bring a whole lot of, a ton of ball. Bring a whole lot of, a ton of ball. It might be 50 of y'all, but there's a ton of us. Bring another scale.
Bring it.
It's too heavy. Bring another scale. A crump way too heavy. Bring another scale.
Damn.
It's too heavy.
Damn.
This is too heavy. My crump is way too heavy. Bring another scale.
Bring it.
It's too heavy. I said bring another scale.
Another one.
A crump is way too heavy. Bring another scale. This is too heavy. This is too heavy. Man, it's too heavy. Bring a whole lot of,
a lot of it,
a ton of buff. It might be 50 of y'all,
50 of y'all,
but there's a ton of us. Cold in the winter, ready for summer buff.
Keep it cold, boy.
Heavy season.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we are talking to Phimo Mitchell, one of the two Black History Month representatives for 2024. He is a meditation teacher, writer, podcast, founded When the Village Meditates in 2020, which is a nonprofit community organization committed to creating meditation, yoga, and discussion spaces, along with wellness retreats that center racialized and marginalized peoples. Phimo Mitchell, thank you so much for being here this evening with us. Thank you so much for your candidness and your vulnerability in your sharing. Because before the break, I had asked you how it is that you came to realize that mental health was important and that you felt the calling, you felt the need, you felt the desire to create When the Village Meditates. And when we left off, because, you know, it's Radio Land, so I gotta, you know, pay some music and pay some bills.
That's right.
You had said that you were in China, you were by yourself for the first time in your life. And I think we need to clarify, because you have a large family. You got like three or four sisters, and you have a large community within the community. And your father was an activist. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was your mother a teacher?
No. My mom was never a teacher, no.
Okay.
Mom worked in the hospital.
There you go. Yeah. So you had this strong community of people around you. And so China couldn't have been further from all of that.
Yeah.
And you basically were faced with yourself.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, for the first time in my life, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, when you just go running, I've said this a lot of times in meditation circles. I thought I could outrun myself, outrun my fears, outrun my sadness. And I thought I could, because I've always been a good runner. You know, mm-hmm. I ran track at Concordia, good runner. Yeah. But I couldn't outrun myself. Mm-hmm. And of course, all the spiritual people that read the books know this. But I didn't read any books at that time. I didn't know. So I was like, just keep running, you know? But it didn't work. And so when I first came across meditation, I started to practice. I didn't tell anyone I was meditating, you know?
Were you embarrassed?
No. It was more just, I'm one of those people, it's like when I write a book, I don't tell anyone I'm writing a book. I just write the book. And then, hey, you wrote a book? Yeah. You know, like, I'll never say the first book, no one knew I was writing a book. I was just writing, you know?
Yeah.
And so the meditation.
Everybody. I'm the opposite of you.
Are you?
Me, I tell everybody. Like, yo, I'm working on a book. I'm working on a play. And then people are still like, whoa, you did a play? I'm like, yeah, I did. I said I was doing it.
Go ahead. I start meditating. And I start noticing, you know, I'm like, bit by bit, like quickly, like within the first few months, I start noticing I'm just more calm, you know? Like just, you know, je suis bien. You know, I'm like, and I was just like, huh. And once again, I didn't get into meditation with all the, like, if you meditate, this happens, that happens. I didn't know all the benefits of meditation.
Right.
I really got into meditation just because I was around all these monks. I would go to the temple all the time, and then going to India, you're in an environment where, but I didn't know the science behind it I didn't know any of that.
Right.
And so when I finally started doing it, I just started feeling I felt good. And bit by bit, I remember telling my younger sister when we were top, and she'd be like, what are you doing? I said, man, I'm just working on ending my personal suffering. And it started as a joke. Like, I'm just working.
Right.
But it really became this thing where I realized I can end a lot of this suffering, because a lot of the suffering, it's mental.
Okay.
It's just I'm suffering from memory and I'm suffering from imagination.
Yeah.
These two things, which, let's be clear, memory and imagination are wonderful gifts. You know, it's beautiful. But like all tools, I should say, we must know how to use them.
Yes.
Unfortunately, a lot of us, the mind is using us, and it's not the other way around.
Yeah.
And so I'm starting to have more control. I'm starting to be able to choose thoughts. And I'm starting to be able to catch myself, you know, like catch myself judging, catch myself. And, you know, and I still have to catch myself, but that awareness started to come up. I'm like, I can see myself doing this now. Mm-hmm. But this idea of suffering less became very appealing to me. I was like, okay, so you're gonna experience pain and sadness. But suffering, I was like, this is a choice. Like, I don't have to suffer. Like, this pain that I feel doesn't have to turn into suffering.
Yeah.
I decide whether or not that becomes suffering. Mm-hmm. And that happens with how I respond, my perspective, how I deal with, how I hold the initial pain, the thing that hurt me.
Yeah.
You know, and so it became and so meditation really allowed me to gain perspective and to be like, wait a minute. So can I just deal with the first, ooh, that hurt, and tend to that initial wound?
Right.
Rather than, why did that person say that to me? Why does this always happen to me? Oh, it's because I'm black, right? It's because, and then all these other things start, these other arrows, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, and next thing you know, I got 21 arrows that I shot up myself.
Yeah.
My mind.
Yeah.
My mind, you know?
100%.
And so what meditation allowed me to do was to be very aware of my emotions and know I'm feeling pain right now and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sad right now. I'm scared. Like, I love when I tell people, you know, I get scared sometimes and people look at me like, I get scared.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't stop me from doing what I need to do, but I do get scared sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Because why the question of why do we have fear, it's so that it inspires courage, right? Because courage and bravery is not the absence of fear, it's the overcoming of it.
Overcoming, that's right.
You know, and that's the difference between a coward and someone who's brave. It's like someone who's brave can stare in the face of everything that they fear and move forward. You know,
I'm glad you brought up bravery, because it takes a lot of bravery and courage to sit with yourself.
Yeah.
To put away your phone. You know, because some people say, well, part of my mental health is I check out memes and stuff. That's great. But can you really just be alone with yourself? Like, a lot of us, we're very quick to be like, it's the system. And I'll be the first one to be like, the system. I love going on my rants.
Yeah.
You know, because the system is a problem.
Yes. Yes.
Certain people are problematic.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But let's be clear about one thing. At the end of the day, I can't control all these things outside of me. I really can't.
Yeah.
But I should have 100% control of what happens within me.
Yes.
That we can do. And so that's why meditation and sharing this practice became very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I know what it's like to be black in this province. You know, I know what it's like to be black on Turtle Island. I understand that very well.
Yeah.
I don't understand all the intersectionalities, like being woman, or let's say being black and transgendered, or black and queer. I might not have firsthand experience with that, but I know what it's like to be black on Turtle Island. And so I also, knowing that, I know that this practice of being able to sit with the pleasant and unpleasant, knowing that there's enough space within you to hold both,
mm-hmm.
knowing that there's something in you that's greater than all your obstacles.
Yeah.
It's something about that practice, about this practice, that we as a community need. And so that's what made me, when I came home in 2019, that's what made me say, I knew exactly what I want to do, in terms of, I need to share this practice.
Yeah.
And, it's been a good ride, you know, I mean, because even in 4 years, when I first was talking to people about meditation, it was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Now, especially after COVID, now people are a lot more open to it within the community, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's encouraging. I just hope that, you know, as a community, we put money behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes unfortunately, I've been in the nonprofit space for a very short time, but unfortunately, I feel there's a lot of competition between the nonprofits for funding.
Okay.
Because we see it as like a limited pool, limited resources. And so we're applying for different funding. But I would hope that we as a community prioritize certain organizations that are doing specific work. Right. So let's say we're doing work where it's really about healing and thriving. Well, it's like urgent art. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe in creating urgent, like, this art, this movie needs to be done now.
Right.
Like, this is not some movie about a cat. This is urgent art. Art that matters, right?
Right.
And so if the nonprofit is doing stuff that speaks to the times we're in, it's kind of urgent. So I would hope that the community be like, okay, make sure this org gets the funding, mm-hmm. so they can keep doing what they're doing and take it to another level. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I would hope for, you know, because it's so important. Because we talk about mental health, but let's just say wellness. If we're not well in our mind, it's only a matter of time before our body starts to feel the impact as well. You know, our spirit,
our body sometimes feels the impact before our mind does.
You know,
I'm getting up there in age, and yeah, I'm not afraid to say it. I'm 43 right now. I'm going to be 44 this year. And just like how they say back in the day, you know, you have the old folks would be like, oh, it's going to rain. And you're like, what are you talking about? I feel it in my bones. And then tutus, either that day or later on or within 5 minutes, what happens? Rain falls.
Right.
Because the body knows. The body knows before the mind knows. Just like the body knows before the planet reacts. Like, it's just a matter of understanding and aligning yourself so that you can be in tune and ready to understand what you need, you know.
That's right.
Thing during the pandemic, I listened a lot to my intuition. Mm-hmm. And when my intuition said, maybe you shouldn't go into work today, I listened. And some people would be like, you know, that's just foolishness. You're just being lazy. And I'm like, nah. I'm okay. I'm healthy. You know, I'm well.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm well right now is because I didn't go to work today.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? And like, why do we downplay intuition? Like, why do we?
Because it feels ethereal. It feels unreal. You can't touch it. You can only say what happened, but you can only say it after the fact, and it can easily be dismissed as luck, as stuff like that. For someone who doesn't understand how intuition works, it's just as dismissible as like coincidence, right?
I guess certain people. I just think it's like anything else. The more you practice it, the more you call it, like, if your intuition will get stronger.
Exactly.
You know, but you have to start working with it. Exactly. You know, why not use all the tools we have at our disposal, like, you know, like, that are available to us? I think intuition is that. I remember seeing a video years ago about a small village in India where the kids start school, but it's just intuition school. Everything is about intuition.
Wow.
It's about intuition. But I say this to say that, you know, the hate against intuition is very Eurocentric.
Yeah.
You know, so is this idea of grind culture. So is this idea of, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff that we do now that we think, oh, this is how it's done. Mm-hmm. But the reason why you talked about the body, your body is not responding well to it because your body knows. There's more memory within your whole body than just your brain.
Yeah.
Your brain has great memory, but your body, your cells remember everything.
Yeah.
Your cells remember your great, 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 you know, your your great grandparents, you know, like, you know, so I think I'm happy you brought the word intuition. I think all these are all tools that we have, and I think we need to cultivate them. And I think if we start to divest from a system that's killing us, I think then we tap into our power.
Absolutely.
You know, we step out of this mode of constantly doing, and we cultivate our beingness. Because ultimately, you know, your beingness doesn't need any additions. Like, what I mean by additions is I can add to my name. I can add a title. This year I'm a laureate, a spokesperson. Mm-hmm. These are all things that I add to my name, and it's great. But my being, the me that has always been, that will always be, spirit, whatever word you want to put there, consciousness, there's nothing to be added. There's nothing to be taken away. There's nothing to be created.
Yeah.
It is. You are. We are.
Yeah.
And to connect there, you know, that place within me where you exist, where the trees outside exist, where the spiders exist, that we all have that. And I would just love to see us spend more time in that space, you know, and knowing that we can always do this person thing, this persona thing, this mass thing. We can always do that when we need to. But I enjoy spending time in my being so that when it's time to speak, I'm not speaking from my intellectual mind, because my mind is at this time of the night is not great anyways, but it's coming from a place of just beingness, of presence.
Yes.
You know? And we all have that. Doesn't matter. Education doesn't matter. That's what I love about it. That's what I love about meditation.
Yeah.
It's not about you can have like the highest IQ. You can be the smartest person. It absolutely doesn't matter when it comes to meditation.
Jack shit. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are joining us for the first time, we are speaking to Fimo Mitchell, one of the two Black History Month spokespersons for 2024. Fimo is a meditation teacher, writer, and podcast host, and he founded When the Village Meditates, which is a nonprofit community organization committed to creating meditation, yoga, and discussion spaces, along with wellness retreats that center racialized and marginalized people. We are going to take a quick break and play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Yes, 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 we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. It is Black History Month, and it is 2024, and we have with us Fimo Mitchell, one of the two Black History Month representatives. He is a meditation teacher, a writer, a podcast host, and in 2020, he founded When the Village Meditates, a nonprofit community organization committed to creating meditation, yoga, and discussion spaces, along with wellness retreats that center racialized and marginalized peoples. In 2021, Fimo released his third book titled Pastel Remembrances, and every Tuesday he hosts When the Village Meditates podcast, featuring 10 minutes of meditation and 5 minutes of insightful speech. Tonight, he is here to talk with us about his role as a BHM spokesperson here in Montreal. Fimo, thank you again for being here, for representing for the Mois de l'Histoire des Noirs, le Table Ronde. Le Mois de l'Histoire des Noirs. We do have to shout them out for, it's been over 30 years now, 36, 37 years that they've been doing this. And it's one of the few places that we get to shine as a black community.
That's right. You know,
with this calendar and with all the events surrounding it and how it's gotten bigger and got to give flowers to people like Carla Beauvais, who were instrumental in just making it really grow and get really big. And she was a laureate last year. Shout out to that. So tell us a little bit about what's going on. During the break, you and I spoke about the blood drive that's happening.
Yes, I think it's very important. You know, we talked about how there are certain diseases that particularly affect black people,
yeah,
like sickle cell, and
sickle
so
there's anemia, yes.
Yeah, and so the blood drive will be on February the, I want to get the date right, February 10th from 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay.
It's going to be at CIDA, which is in Little Burgundy, at 2515 Rue de Lille.
Okay.
It's really just like the idea is the Table Ronde is hosting a blood drive to support Sickle Cell Association. Special context, since COVID, at all times, you must make an appointment to donate blood. Yeah, I should mention that.
Right.
And they said that they will, there'll be more promotional events. I mean, you'll see some stuff online. Mm-hmm. In the upcoming days and weeks, to promote this blood drive. But I think it's really important, you were talking about your uncle who had sickle cell, right? So,
yeah.
I think that's important. And, on a whole, I just like the idea of having time to celebrate us and our history and, what we've accomplished, contributed, and what we are doing now as well.
Yeah.
You know, I like the idea of the, the Sankofa.
Okay.
The bird reaching back, into history. And I look at it like you reach back, you're the beak is looking back to get something, but you're taking to bring it into the present,
Yeah.
So I like that. I like the idea of history was the only class that I was good at in school, like history and geography.
Okay.
I was really good at naming countries around the world.
Okay.
And, like really good. and then history, like, even though the only time I saw anyone that looked like me in the history books was there was a picture and we were like, we had chains around our necks and arms and stuff. That one picture. And you know how hard it is being the only black kid in your history class. And they're like, the teacher is like, why y avait l'esclavage? And you're just like, oh man, you're sitting there.
Yeah.
And then I'll never forget the year I asked, yeah, on avait des esclaves ici au Québec, huh? And the teacher was like, no. Like, there's no slaves here in Quebec.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thinking about it, I think that teacher really didn't know. I don't think they knew and lied. I think they didn't know.
Yeah.
You know? And
I was reading. I'm reading James Baldwin's books as part of a project that I'm working on. Discussion between Trayvon Martin and James Baldwin.
Tell me which one you. Tell me. Tell me. Tell me which ones you like The Fire Next Time, Giovanni's Room.
No, I'm reading more his selected works, his more documentary style.
Oh, okay.
Novels. So, the most recent chapter that I'm reading is actually a letter. It's a response to Stokely Carmichael's book.
Okay.
Because him and Stokely had a very tumultuous relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And they clashed quite a bit. But in the chapter right before that one, and I had to put a little star on it because I realized that I needed to come back to this because this needs to be in the project that I'm working in. Like, not necessarily the exact words, but the content, the nuances of what he was talking about. And he says, and I'm going to paraphrase it, he said something like this: white folk in America need to dehumanize black folks, because if they were to humanize black folks, they would have to acknowledge that everything that they have done in the past has been horrific.
Yeah.
And the ones who humanize black folk have to deny what happened, have to deny that, you know, that there is redlining, that there is systemic oppression, that there is prejudice and all of that, that prevents black folk from having the same opportunities and achieving the same goals. Mm-hmm. AKA, you have to work twice as hard to get half of what they get. Like, they have to deny that exists in order to humanize us, because if you acknowledge that, you know, the system of oppression that was there, that enslaved black peoples and brought them over, that created genocide and killed and massacred indigenous people, that is continuing to be used in different ways now in Palestine. If they were to acknowledge that this stuff is happening and has been historically repeated over and over, they would completely shatter. Their mental health would completely go to dust.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe then they would leave us alone. But, you know. James Baldwin was saying is that they are incapable of doing either one of the two. Admitting that we are human beings and therefore acknowledging us. Or admitting, yes, they admit that they're human beings, but they're going to deny our experience. Because facing the truth, what you were saying, facing the truth, putting a mirror up to yourself, is one of the most difficult things that anybody can do. And nobody wants to see themselves as ugly, see their ancestors as people who created chaos in this world. They don't want to do that.
I mean, it takes bravery and courage to do that, you know. But I would say this to any: look at it this way. These for white people, for even the idea of white people, like, because the Irish, there was a time where the Irish weren't white, the Polish weren't white. There was a time where the Jews weren't white.
Yep.
But for white people, we'll use the term white people, you know, their ancestors were heavily traumatized as well, leaving Europe.
Okay.
And so I think not enough is said about that. Not enough was said about the trauma that is passed on in their bodies as well.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I think in Canada, you know, to Baldwin, you talk about Baldwin, and I'm a huge fan, you know. I think in Canada it's like, you know, when you're a child. Well, I didn't have one, but a lot of sometimes you talk about the blanket you have, carry around with you.
Yeah, yeah. The safety blanket.
Yeah, but when you mature, you let go of that. And in many ways, Canada, white Canada, is still holding on to its safety blanket.
Ooh.
And refuses to let go of it.
Ooh.
You know, so it hurts. When we had the stories of les pensionnats, like the residential schools and all that was coming up. Remember that summer?
Yeah.
And I remember Canada Day was, it didn't happen that one summer.
Yeah.
You know, and then the next summer it happened. And I was like, well, I think maybe no Canada Day until we do right by the people that were here first.
Yeah.
that looked after the lands and the waters
before, you know, we even knew it. We even landed here. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but it's such a, it's like cognitive dissonance. It's like, we're good people. Like, and this is the thing. It doesn't mean that you today as a white person is a bad person.
Nope.
This is, but what it does mean is that you had a head start, mm-hmm. that there's a reason why you're able to have a chalet. Like, yep. In a nice place
that stays, like, that stays empty 359 days a year, and then you go up for Christmas for 6 days.
Yeah. And the rest of us just have to rent it from you for a week to have some family time up in the woods, you know.
Yeah.
These are things that needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
But to acknowledge that, you would have to let go of your little safety blanket.
Yeah.
My concern over the years is their unwillingness to let go of it. Yeah. And so, you know, you're a writer. We create art, you know, we talk and stuff, but I've shifted my focus to us, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, I grew up watching Eyes on the Prize. Okay. Our dad used to make us watch that series on PBS every year.
Okay.
What I saw was, you know, black people dressed up, man, in suits and dresses, looking great, mm-hmm. still being hosed down, still being beaten,
yeah,
still being hung, still being treated like less than, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so then they want to say, then you have someone come up, like a Bill Cosby, come up and say, well, pull up your pants and stuff, stop. It doesn't matter. And respectability policy is a joke anyways, because I don't care how the person is dressed. I don't care what he or she has done, whether that person's a drug dealer, whether that person is a sex worker, they're still worthy.
Yeah.
We talked about that earlier, right?
Yeah.
You have inherent worth.
Yeah.
And that shall never go away, you know? And so, for that reason, I feel like I'm not going to try to convince anyone, well, especially when I think about, when we talk about white culture and about to convince them that we're worthy, our humanity. No, it's too late for that.
Yeah.
You know, let's go inward. Let's heal. Let's come together Black History Month. Well, not just Black History Month. Let's come together all year.
Yeah.
Let's go back. Let's take what practices work, because it's not just history. We got healing modality. We got all types of stuff you can draw from. And let's heal. Let's get free. And let's build something new. Let's build something that doesn't even need an enemy.
I like that.
You know?
I like that. So we are coming to the end of the show. Fimo, just one sentence. What is it that you want to be added to the annals of Black history? In one sentence, if you can.
That I offered healing and a place for us to thrive. Yeah.
All right. Fimo Mitchell, thank you so much, brother, for being here. Happy Black History Month to you. I'm looking forward to seeing everything that you do throughout the month. And thank you so much for coming. That's just gratitude, brother. Just gratitude. Once again, I'm proud of you. You deserve it. And don't let nobody, including yourself, tell you different.
thank you, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, please do check out moihistoiredesnoirs.com in order to find out more about the different events that are occurring throughout the city. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you have been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have two phone lines. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviera de Prairie Prison by calling 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. Feel free to call that number and leave a message for us with news to share on the show or an audio message for your loved ones inside.
Yeah. I'ma just keep it 100 with y'all for a quick minute. Now, I mean, be honest. You know the motto, just keep it hip hop. Just a young dude out the city, gotta make it. Promise to never stop till I'm acknowledged greatest. Ain't talking Montreal, but the world, I'ma take it. Lines always degraded, forever remain hated. Can't seem to understand that I'm not your competition. Got bigger plans, a lot more to envision. Not bragging about the cash that I'm getting or I'm spending. Ain't on BT, no need to know how I'm living. But I do stay fresh.
Society, out of varying traditions and interests, to arouse the conscience of our land in order to achieve, in fact, that which has already been won in law.
You know, I was never a slave, got that heart of a king. That's how I feel, right? This is life. Ain't living the dream, no ice, no bling. Heart of the king, not in my league. Forever reign supreme, fight for what I believe. Heart of the king, get you lifted higher than 80 milligrams of oxy. Ain't got no equal, how they playing inside me. Incredibly impeccable, flow too hard to copy. Ain't even being cocky, no throne, just watch me. Descended from a pharaoh, rock the flying apparel. Ice, I never care for, are you really prepared for? Spiritual elevation, facing the confrontations. Replacing the observation, provided by obligations. Controlling all our nation, degrading the population. Erasing true education, replacing organizations. Products of lies, logic, objects of all profit. Targets of all honest, modest and unconscious. No signs of goddess, defined severe lines provided. No compliance, reliant, we shall try. Presence too strong, they can never replace it. Got the heart of a king, that's something they never take it. This is life, ain't living a dream. No ice, no bling. Heart of a king, not in my league.
Black Theater Workshop presents the world premiere of Diggers by Donna Michelle St. Bernard. Abdul and Solomon introduce newbie Bai to the intricacies and dignity of grave digging. But when illness hits their town, they must make the best of a bad situation. Full of song, laughter, tears, and beautiful humanity, Diggers is a tribute to essential workers. Catch Diggers at the Siegel Center Studio from February 1st to the 17th. Get your tickets at siegelcenter.org or call 514-739-7944. More information at blacktheaterworkshop.ca. This is a Black Theater Workshop and Prairie Theater Exchange co-production and CKUT co-presentation.
What's going on, y'all? It's your girl, Miss Ben, and it's Black History Month, so you know we'll be kicking it every Tuesday right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Every Tuesday from 3 to 5, I bring to you Heal, Black Girl Heal, where we discuss some in-depth conversations with those that got some things going on within the Black community. And let's not forget about all of the plentiful activities that you need to keep up to date with. So do not forget, each and every Tuesday for the month of February, right here on CKUT 90.3 FM.